Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast.
Today's gospel is a long one. And for the next couple weeks, we're going to have some of those longer gospels. And these gospels are intended to demonstrate how people come to faith and they come to understand and to know who Jesus is and why he does what he does. So today I want to focus on three different aspects of this gospel. The first one is the way that the Samaritan woman came to know who Jesus was and what he was all about. And you can see that reflected in her language, because when she first meets Jesus, she just says, "You, a Jew." You know, so she recognizes he's Jewish, but that's about it. There's no real understanding of anything more than that. And then in their conversation, she uses the word sir, but that is a sign of respect, actually. So remember, the Samaritans and the Jews really did not get along. So she did move from just recognizing him as a mere Jew to now someone who is a sir or a master or a lord. You know, she kind of moves to that direction. And then later he talks to her about her husbands and she says, "Oh, I see that you are a prophet." You know, so now again, she's moved to a deeper level of her understanding of who Jesus is. And then later, she comes to know that he is the Messiah. And the Samaritans and the Jews had a concept of Messiah. It was a little different, but she did recognize him as the Messiah. And then later, when she went down and brought her people back, there was a description of how she described him, and that is the Savior of the world. You know, so you can see these stages and steps along the way. And that really represents, for the most part, the way most of us have come to faith, or where we are at in the process of coming to faith. That people who are baptized as babies, for example, it's not expected that they're going to know everything there's to know about Jesus. And that's why it's important that the parents stand in for the faith of the child until the child grows and owns their own faith. And that's why you have godparents that are to assist in that process. For most of us, myself included, I knew something about Jesus when I was in grade school, and then later in high school, I was able to understand things in a deeper level than in college, and then seminary, and then life. You know, that life has a tendency to do that, that it's possible that people can have a real instantaneous conversion, but it's not the norm. The norm is that we continue to grow and learn and keep ourselves open so that Jesus can reveal himself to us more and more. I like to give the example of a marriage that when two people get married, they know quite a bit about each other at that point, but obviously there's more to grow and to learn. And if you wake up one day and think, I know everything that there is to know about my wife or my husband, then that's kind of a sad state, because you know the idea there is that there's supposed to be this continual growth in knowledge and understanding and love of the person you're with. You know, so in a similar way, that's how our faith is intended to be as well. This gift of life that we have is somewhat short. We don't know how many years we have, but during that time, the purpose of life being as it is that we can continue to grow in our understanding and our love of the God who made us. And we can be in a deeper love and relationship with him as life goes on. The second thing I want to talk about is the five husbands. Because you hear Jesus says, you know, you've had five husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. And you might be thinking, well, that seems kind of mean. You know, but there's a double meaning in this. Now, the Samaritans, that they were different than the Jews. And there was a historical reason for that happening. The northern part of Israel was conquered by the Assyrian Empire, and one of the things that ancient empires did is they would deport people, and then they would import people into the places that they conquered. And in this particular place, the Assyrians imported five different tribes of people into northern Israel, and that's going to be the beginning of what would form the Samaritans as being different than the Jews. And they were different because their faith or their practice of the faith and the religion that they had was corrupted by the practices and the understanding of the faith that the Assyrians had. And so that's why the Jews, as Jesus said, you know, they are the ones that have the true faith. And the Samaritans have corrupted their faith. So those five husbands being married to her, in a sense, is meaning that the Samaritans allowed those five different tribes to corrupt their faith, the people they wedded with, and therefore their faith has been corrupted. Now, I think there's a lesson for that as well, that we are blessed in the Catholic faith that we have a continuation of faith that goes back to Jesus himself through the disciples and the apostles, and that being passed down through the ages. And it's also true that we have to preserve that, that we don't want to take for granted the faith that we have and the faith that we practice. And it is very easy for people to allow the things of the world or different and false ideas to corrupt what we have as people of faith. And one example of this is, think about whatever politics you might believe, and then think about your faith and see if they're exactly the same. Because if they're the same, that means that your politics have corrupted your faith. Or think about your philosophies of life or the culture that we happen to live in. If they're exactly the same as our faith, then that means something's been corrupted along the way. Sometimes it might be various things that get in the way of that, and so we do want to be careful about that. And even if we're good, faithful Catholics, it can be easy to substitute the external with the substance that really matters. It's pretty common, because we have a lot of signs and symbols and practices, that people can see those signs, symbols, and practices and then substitute those things for the faith itself. And then sometimes those things become superstitious in nature. Like it's not uncommon that people will use holy water in a magical way, you know, getting gallons of holy water and then thinking, if I just drink the holy water, I'm going to be healed or something. And that's not what it's for. You know, it's a reminder of our baptismal promises, you know, or they'll see the way that the faith is practiced in certain ways, and they will think that that is the essential gospel rather than the gospel itself. And so we have to be careful that as certain things change over time, we have different languages, different prayers, different ways of doing things, but the essential gospel itself and the essential practice of the faith, there's a constancy there that we want to hold on to and not lose sight of. So I think that's another important part of this gospel, is recognizing the importance of us to hold on to and preserve the faith and the true faith that the Lord gives us, and to be open to his message and his gospel. Now, the last thing I want to look at is, before she ran off into town, she left this jar behind, the water jar that she originally came up there with. And that's symbolic as well, because remember the conversation that Jesus had when he was saying that I am the living water, and she just was coming up for regular water. Well, the fact that she left the jar behind and then ran into town with this great and exciting news shows that she recognized Jesus for being the living water, and she no longer needed to rely on the water that would not satisfy. You know, so in a similar way, we can look at that example and see that there are things that we also need to leave behind. And sometimes it might be different sins that we're holding on to. Sometimes it might be, you know, false perspectives on the nature of who God is. You know, maybe our image of God is not exactly correct, and we need to move on from that and leave those images behind. It might be several things in our past that we just have not let go of, and the forgiveness that we need to engage in. You know, but whatever it is, all of us have those things in our life. And so we might want to consider that. You know, what are the things that we need to leave behind so we can more fully accept the true Lord who comes to us and offers himself so freely to us? So in this week, those three things might be things we might keep in mind. And the first one is just to see where we're at when it comes to our growth in our faith. And if it's If it's not moving forward, then we need to do the work to allow that to happen through our prayer, through our study, and through our practice of the faith, through our charitable works. The other is to maybe see where our faith is being contaminated in some way, that maybe we're allowing things to creep in that are distorting the true faith that we are supposed to be following. And then the last thing is spend a moment to consider what are the things in our lives that we need to leave behind so we can more fully embrace the good and glorious gospel that is freely given to us by the sacrifice of our God.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.